Therapy is so misunderstood. It's either people expect it to solve all their problems, or they don't think it has any benefits whatsoever. While people like me operate somewhere in the middle. My empathy and curiosity is reserved for those who don't believe in therapy. They find it difficult to trust therapists. Why is that?
You want the truth? Because I think it's bullshit. You don't know me. We don't have history. And yet you just expect me to spill my guts about all the gory details of my life. The fights, the mistakes, my deep, dark secrets. But you ain't listening because you care about me. No. No, you ain't listening to me because you paid to listen to me. You're getting paid to just jot down your little notes and diagnose my tears, and then what? Probably just blame it on my folks, right? I mean, you say you're only interested in the truth. And yet here you are, charging an hourly rate for only 50 minutes of work. Like I said, it's bullshit.
My man has a point. I get where he's coming from. In fact, he might be right. A significant number of therapists are exactly what he described. I can't relate, though. My therapist is absolute gold. She's so good at what she does, and she actually cares. So much so that our sessions made it to the podcast. Here's some backstory in case you're new here. A couple of months ago, I dropped side A of this episode about the first time I saw a therapist and what my experience was like. That was one of the most vulnerable stuff I've ever put out, and I told myself that if the conditions were right, I would release side B. Now we're here. This episode sheds more light on those sessions. If you've not yet listened to side A, please do. You don't have to listen to them in any order, though. Feel free to sink into this and check that out later. There's a link in the description of this episode. So, is therapy really bullshit? I don't think so. Even though my guy believes this to be the case. Even though I understand where he's coming from. Still, I beg to differ. If you find the right one, a good one, it can change your life. This episode is basically my experience with a good therapist. A real one. One who knows how to ask the right questions and say the right things at the right time. Welcome to The Young God. This might be weird to say, and I've said a lot of weird things on this podcast, but I discovered there's an endless source of enjoyment in engaging with a good therapist. Someone who can keep up, who doesn't take things personally, someone who is trained to understand, especially if you don't have emotional problems, just banter and insights. I found that joy with my therapist. Because normal people get in their feelings so easily. Everyone's so sensitive, so quick to label, so quick to make entire judgments of your character based on an opinion. It's ridiculous. I'll just be in my head judging them like, look at you, so emotional. A therapist has no stake in your life and your opinions. They will sit there, listen, and engage endlessly until you arrive at the bottom line. It's the best. One of the things my therapist and I talked about was the movie A Beautiful Mind, a movie I explored in some detail in that legendary How to Not Suck at Relationships episode. That's another episode I highly recommend. Link in the description. So my therapist and I were talking about these movies, and I think she thought I was avoiding talking about myself and my feelings. So out of nowhere, she asked,
are you happy?
She caught me off guard. Am I happy?
Yes, are you?
I think I'm on my way to happy. Right now, I'm understanding my obligations, my responsibility, my power, my platform, and what it can do for me, the people around me, and the world. I'm on my way to happy. Still in the wilderness though. Still doing my 40 days and 40 nights. Still looking for the light. But as the great Donda said,
even if you are not ready for the day, it cannot always be night.
Only difference is, I'm ready. I've been ready. Born ready.
Why is it, do you think, you have this sort of relationship with happiness?
There's a lot that comes with being a creative, a thinker, a god. You know? Because of who I am, I don't get to play it safe and hide away. I put myself out there in a real way every day. I open myself up to criticism and judgment. So the closest thing I can get at the moment is contentment, fulfillment, peace. Knowing that I'm in my element and doing what I'm meant to do. Happiness comes later. I don't think I'll be happy until I feel like I don't have to exert as much energy into my craft any longer. When it becomes effortless. In the end, it's still work. It's still a labor of love. A commitment to show up and do what God has put me on earth to do.
So you're not happy? That's the long story short then?
Now I'm confused because I wouldn't say I'm unhappy. Now that I think about it, perhaps I was being too cynical in my initial response. Too serious, maybe a tad bit ungrateful. Honestly, I'm as happy as I've ever been. I have everything I need. Family, friends, a drama-free life, things to look forward to, so much ahead of me. Plus, I'm a creative individual, and creativity is the gift that keeps on giving. To be able to create something meaningful, something beautiful, something useful, to contribute to humanity in a real way, it's fulfilling as fuck. It's sweeter than mother's milk. I could never take that for granted. Sometimes when I'm alone, I think of all that I've accomplished in this environment that makes it difficult to be yourself, your best self. I've tried, I've shown up, I've made the most of what I've been given. Every single day, I'm out here doing me, being me and taking others with me, touching lives in my little corner of the world, living my dreams, not because of what it will give me or prove, but because that is all I want to do. People's opinions don't matter. And trust me, I hear the chatter. People be talking. Doctor, I like who I am, what I do and how I do it. I handle my business. I'm in rhythm. I'm comfortable anywhere. Happiness is not somewhere else. It's wherever I am. If I'm meant to be somewhere else, I would be there. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Happiness is here. Sometimes, I wish I could bottle up this feeling and give it to people for free. It's elite. In side A of this episode, my therapist described this mental state as eunoia. E-U-N-O-I-A. Fascinating word. You should Google it. So yeah, to answer your question, I'm happy.
Have you ever been depressed?
Damn, you're really probing today, huh? No, I have not. When it comes to my mental health, prevention is better than cure. I try to live in a way that keeps demons at bay. First things first is being present. When I'm present, depression can't just creep up on me. You know how people talk about depression coming upon them like a thief in the night? I see it coming a mile away. I'm very in tune with my emotions. I always do the work to figure out what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling that way. I don't let negative emotions poison the good in my life. You see, the mind is a curious thing because it can be both a terrible master or a faithful servant. You gotta master it so that it can do what you want it to do, not the other way around. Me run my mind. Me mind no run me. Happiness really is a choice. When the legendary Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother said,
"When I get sad, I stop being sad and be awesome instead." True story.
That was the God mentality on display. You see, the brain is hardwired to remember the negative interactions better than the positive ones. It doesn't matter how well your day is going, all it takes is one little offhand comment to ruin it. But research has shown that the higher regions of the brain can actually modify how the lower regions function. That we can use our intention and our attention in sustained, focused ways to overcome the brain's negative bias so that it can be within our control to determine how bad experiences affect us. In other words, unless you're clinically depressed, being unhappy may in fact be a choice. And I always choose happiness. When I say I choose happiness, I don't mean it in an abstract kind of way. It's not just something to say. Like, choosing happiness is about little choices that you make. So for me, when I notice the demons coming, I take a cold shower. Sounds random, but it is underrated when dealing with depression. Unless, of course, you're clinically depressed. That requires serious meds. I'm talking about the kind of depression that comes with everyday living. A cold shower is exactly what the brain needs to snap out of it. There's a scientific explanation too. I read somewhere that one of the best ways to counteract an onset of depression or anxiety is to engage in activities that expose your brain and body to periods of physical discomfort. As in, go outside and be cold or hungry for a few days. Be uncomfortable. There are chemicals released throughout the brain and blood and body as a result of that, that balance out your emotions. Ever wonder why people who seem to have it all, who have achieved success, still get depressed and even commit suicide? It's because there's such a thing as life being too comfortable for our emotional and psychological well-being. Studies show that the absence of physical stress is known to cause inadequate functioning of the brain. When all of our most fundamental needs like food, warmth, and safety are so thoroughly and perpetually satisfied, we not only lose our appreciation for what we have, but we also move the goalposts and indulge in social comparisons that make us miserable. Another thing that researchers found out is that misfortune and adversity, once overcome, may lead to improved mental health and other well-being benefits. On average, the more hardships a person has lived through, the more that person is able to enjoy and appreciate small pleasures. Experts have termed this ability savoring, as in to savor. Another way I look after my mental health is by going outside and getting at least 15 minutes of morning sunlight and fresh air. It works wonders in the prevention of depression. Morning sunlight provides vitamin D, which helps stabilize certain hormones in the brain that allow for good brain function. Spending all day indoors can seriously fuck with your mental, especially if you live by yourself, which a lot of young single people do these days. No wonder so many people are depressed. Going days without sun and human contact is a recipe for mental health disaster. Go outside. Let's take a moment to pause and breathe. Relieve the tension. Whatever you're doing, close your eyes, take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. One more time. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's resume. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Making more good decisions than bad ones as you go along in this life is so good for your mental health. This is key because the older you get, the more the feeling of regret adds up. In your 20s, you may regret something for at most a week. But in your 30s, you may regret the same exact thing for the rest of your life. Regret is a heavy burden to carry, just like hate. It's spiritual poison. Your mental health is a direct reflection of the decisions you take and the feedback you receive from the universe. Every decision, the course you studied, the people you date, the people you sleep with, the career choices you make, the way you spend your money and time, the way you treat others and the way you treat yourself. Every decision matters. And whether you know it or not, affects your spiritual and mental health. But even worse than making the wrong decision is making no decision at all. Indecision. Deciding not to decide. The worst. Analysis paralysis is a cruel son of a bitch. If you stand in one place for too long, your demons will catch up to you. Stay woke. Speaking of decisions, one of the biggest decisions you will ever make is following through on your purpose. A sense of purpose is the secret to stellar mental health. It has a way of blocking bullshit. Having something meaningful to do can snap you out of it in crucial moments. What does a sense of purpose feel like? The best way I can put it is, I feel like I'm being pulled somewhere I want to go. I'm pushing towards something that is also pulling me. There's no conflict, no tension, just flow. That's what a sense of purpose feels like to me.
Damn, that's actually profound.
I often say that I live a charmed life, because when I surrender to that pull, positive things tend to happen. I'm talking about unbelievable encounters, opportunities, insights, and knowledge about myself. All of that is so good for my mental health. The opposite is true for a lot of people, though. They suffer mentally because they have deviated so far from their North Star. They listen to other voices, they follow trends, they latch onto causes and cults that offer temporary fixes in order to avoid the hard questions about themselves. Deep down, we all want to feel that connection to a calling, a purpose, the meaning to our lives. Without that, there's an emptiness and depression that quickly fills that void. Even money, power, success, and fame can't protect you, because you become even more aware of that void when all your physical needs are met.
Understand, the human mind is a bottomless pit. There are endless mental spaces to explore. Our imagination can take us anywhere and conjure up anything. This is both the gift and the curse of the mind. A sense of purpose, a sense of self, and a connection to your individuality are what keep your mind from running amok.
That's why they say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. A sense of purpose is the ultimate weapon against depression. It lifts you above petty things. It excites. You don't have time or need for tomfoolery. You're focused on more important things. It's unfortunate that most people will never ever get that feeling. It's also unfortunate that there is no formula for developing that sense. Sometimes it comes upon you like a lightning bolt. Sometimes you must wander endlessly to find it. If you're listening, I pray you're able to find yours. Your happiness depends on it. Dear listener, take it from me. When a sense of purpose holds you down, you're supposed to drown.
Just because a therapist is being paid, they don't actually care. Let me ask you something. Would you coach for free?
Yeah, I would.
But do you?
No, ma'am.
And yet you care about your players, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Then why would you assume it's not the same for me?
Over the last 20 minutes or so, I have waxed lyrical about my amazing mental health. But more than anything, empathy is what I feel. Empathy in that, because I know how good it feels to be of sound mind, to be in such a good headspace, I can only imagine what the opposite must feel like for those who are really going through it. The difference is black and white, heaven and hell. My therapist said it best.
Life awaits. Meaningful friendships, inspiring work, independence, your place in the world. They are all just waiting outside the door. Now, imagine if that door was locked. No key, no side exit, you're trapped, while everybody else blossoms around you. That's what it feels like to have poor mental health.
And that's the second most powerful thing my therapist ever said to me. I've done so much research on mental health. I've talked to victims and professionals, I've watched TV shows and movies, and I haven't heard it put so well before. That's a therapist who understands her work. Go listen to Side A to find out what number one is. As always, there's a link in the description. From now on, call me Rodney with the Good Therapist, because there are levels to this. Oh, and one more thing about my therapist. I know I have really hyped her up on both episodes, so naturally, you might want her details. Unfortunately, the deal I made with her is that if I do this, if I make these episodes, I can't refer anyone who has listened to them. Doctor-patient confidentiality is very important to her. In her own words,
"It is not ideal for people who listen to the podcast to be my patients, because they will come into the sessions with expectations based on the stories you've told, and that would make my job inorganic."
I hope you can understand. In the meantime, let me wrap up with this. Shit is real out here. Every day, every month, there's a new study, a new stat about all the ways people are suffering mentally. I see tweets, I hear stories about people who are behind bars mentally, their ability to enjoy life in shambles. And like I said earlier, I wish I could bottle up this feeling, this mental state, and offer it to people free of charge. Unfortunately, it's something we must all figure out on our own, or with the help of a therapist. It is earned, not given. A byproduct of knowing and doing the right things. So while I can't share this feeling, I have a responsibility to put stories like this out there, just in case somewhere in here lies the key for someone to unlock their own door. I realize that I'm blessed to have the mind that I do. It is a flex of the highest order. If you can't achieve it on your own, please see a therapist, the right one, and go with an open mind. Come prepared to burden them with your demons, if any. Bleed on them. Take advantage of those sessions because they are charging by the hour. Make them earn their motherfucking money. Damn. So yeah, this is it for the most powerful thing my therapist ever said to me. I've exhausted this theme and this premise and this story. I hope it makes sense. I hope it encourages you to take your mental health seriously, hold yourself accountable, and it will all work out for good. My name is Rodney Omokachi, and this is The Young God. Thank you.